نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا.
Last week, where we ended off, we were describing some of the incidents regarding the life of this boy called Ibn Sayyad, Ibn Sa'id, Abdullah, Sa'if. And many of those we described were those that were on the basis of authentic ahadith. And then there were those that we mentioned that the sanad might not be as strong, but because it's already established that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu's nazar eye was on this boy from a young age, and as he grew up they were always around him looking at him. So other narrations regarding him, some which are strong, some which are not so strong. There is a mawquf narration where the ulama have narrated that the narrators are all thiqa. From Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she says that when Ibn Sayyad was born, he was born blind in the one eye, awar, which we mentioned already. The amazing thing about him was makhtunan, that when he was born, his khatna was already made. As we mentioned, he and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he and Isa alayhi salatu wasallam, they resembled in many aspects. Makhtunan, masruran, he was born smiling. I wonder why he was smiling. Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, he says, explaining the reason why he would take qasam that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal, nobody else is Dajjal. He says when he was born, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him to ask the mother of this boy that when he was born, how was the birth? And when he came out, what happened? So the mother explained that he stayed extra long in the womb. A normal time period would have been that the child should have come out. He never wanted to come out. Very long he stayed. Until when the time came out, he came out and his teeth were already out, protruding. And he gave a scream at the time of coming out, which was the scream of a boy of already 1 month. In one narration of Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, he mentions that Ibn Sayyad used to grow very fast. That in a day he would grow like what normally someone would grow in a month. So although this narration is slightly weak, but there is something to understand here, that Ibn Sayyad in the light of authentic ahadith also doesn't look like a normal boy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed in Medina Munawwara for only 10 years. It wasn't in the first year most likely that Ibn Sayyad was born, it wasn't in the second year, it wasn't in the third year. There are certain narrations that showed in the 8th year of Hijri he was born. Others have questioned that how can it be possible that he grew so fast. So even if we don't say the 8th year, we say maybe the 7th year, 6th year, 5th year. Whatever time, the most that he could have reached at the time of the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was born as soon as he entered Medina Munawwara, was the age of 10. Yet we will find in authentic ahadith, Sahaba radiallahu anhu says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him one time, this wasn't at the ending, he was already very close to the age of bulugh. He was almost baligh. Now for that young boy to become baligh at the age of 10 was something amazing. And as I told you, there is indication that he wasn't born at the beginning. He was born towards the end. So if he was born in the 5th year, 6th year, or as some indication shows in the 8th year of Hijri, it means from the 8th year, in the 9th year, in the 10th year, within 2 years he grew so fast, that Sahaba radiallahu anhu says, the next time we saw him, he was already close to the age of bulugh, and that will be amazing. But when you look at the life of Isa alayhi salam, you will find in his upbringing also the same thing is mentioned. That in a day he would grow very fast. And within a time where us we would be 1 year, 2 years already, he was entering the maktab. So again, another indication that Ibn Sayyad was no normal youngster. Thereafter, there's a lot of other things to mention of Ibn Sayyad, which you will come after. But because during this week, a couple of people approached me and they said that the Dajjal who's at the back of the mind, Tamim Dari, he just wants to come in the front now. So I felt it's time now to bring him out. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. Whenever Ibn Sayyad was born, until the time of Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, how many years passed is something that nobody really knows. It could have been 1 year, 2 years, it could have been, how I said, 8 years. However, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, it is clear that he only accepted Islam in the 90 of Hijri. And that was the time when he came, he met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previously, he met also most likely in Makkah Mukarramah, he never accepted Islam. It was here when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Tabuk that Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu comes. And he had some issue before that, which we will do in the tafsir of the verse of Quran where he took qasam, he was speaking lies. And immediately after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned him and said, you lied, you took Allah's name, you are Christian. How can you lie? And then he told him, why don't you accept Islam? And he accepted Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu. After that, he starts explaining now an incident that took place years ago when he was on a ship with 30 of his friends. He says that the storm caused our ship to sink. We managed to get onto a smaller ship. The storm played with our boat, with our ship for 1 month at sea. Thereafter, it pushed us towards an island. With a small ship now, a small boat, we managed to reach the island. Thereafter, he says, on reaching the island, there was dabbatun, a certain type of animal, ahlab, kathiru sha'ar, filled with hair. So much of hair that we were not sure whether it's a male or a female, because we could not see its front, we could not see its behind. Meaning there was no clothes, it was only hair, hair, hair. In certain narrations, he said, we tried to speak to this animal, because it was like looking like a man, to tell us, where are we, what is the place, and this animal is just keeping quiet. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Tamim Dari, says, we asked it, don't you want to tell us something? So it was just indicating, I got nothing to talk to you all. But thereafter it says, however, there's the leader who is in the temple, and he is very desirous to meet you and get some information from you. As I mentioned previously, this shows that they were not the first Jamaat who reached there. Had they been the first Jamaat of the entire world to reach there, this animal's eyes would have popped out. Where you all came from? You would have ran back to the temple. Master, master, someone is here from another planet. But nothing like that happened. As though they were used to people passing by, meeting them. So and so wants to meet you, come and visit him in the temple. He says, as soon as she described that there is a man in the temple waiting for you all, a fear went through our body that most likely this is some type of shaitan. So very quickly we hurried towards the temple. In the narration of Muslim, which is regarded as the best narration on the chapter of Tamim Dari's Dajjal, which we will call it, where we will call Ibn Sayyad Dajjal, here we will call him Tamim Dari's Dajjal, so that a difference can be made between the two. So the best narration, meaning the most authentic narration of Tamim Dari's Dajjal, will be the narration of Muslim. In there, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu describes what he saw when he entered. So he said, فَإِذَا فِيهِ أَعْظَمُ إِنسَانٍ رَأَيْنَاهُ قَتُّ خَلْقًا, which in English you will translate it as I entered, I found the most huge or well-built man I had ever seen in my life. And that word, أَعْظَمُ إِنسَانًا رَأَيْنَاهُ قَتُّ خَلْقًا. If a person looks at that in his own mind, then he will see a very huge man, the biggest man you have ever seen. And he was tied up with chains from his hands to his neck. And then between his knees and his ankles, there was chains all around. And in another narration, he was jumping up and down, getting very strong also. And thereafter, the narration is long. The points that I will mention are the important points. Other points will be mentioned, inshallah, in the future. That he asks this figure, who are you? The figure says, I'll tell you afterwards. First, you tell me, who are you? So he said, we are Arabs. And we were on the boat, this happened, we reached here. Thereafter this figure asked them that there is a certain plantation at a certain place. Is it giving out its crop? He said, it's giving out. He said, a time will come and it won't. There is certain waters in certain places. Is the water still coming? The person says, the water is coming. A lot of water is coming. So a certain time will come when it's going to dry up. And then he asked that there's a Nabi of the Arabs, the Nabi of the Ummi. Has he come out yet in Makkah? So he says he has come out of Makkah Mukarramah, gone to Medina Munawwara. He has fought against the Arabs. The Arabs have obeyed him. The deen has become one. So at that time, this figure which we will call Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, Dajjal, he says that has he come out already? And then he says after that, that very soon the time for me to come out is now approaching. If we were there, most likely we would have told him, bye, it's still long. We'll wait for Hazrat Mehdi, then you can come out. He said, very soon my time is coming. And thereafter he explained, I will go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara. The angels there with open swords will never be allowed me to enter. Every other place I will settle down, I'll take over. And thereafter he said, I am Al-Masih. I am the one that people are waiting for. I am Dajjal. And he said, if the Arabs follow him, that is very good for them. And thereafter, Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu, most likely they made salam to him, whatever happened. Then finally they took leave, they got onto the boat, and they continued their journey back home. After accepting Islam, he now narrates this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha says, I was at a certain house during my iddat. My iddat just came to an end and I heard a munadi calling for salah. So it wasn't a small incident, this calling for salah, meaning the muazzin gave the adhan. And whoever was around Masjid al-Nabawi would normally gather. And when we say normally gather, if someone says at that day, however, Umar radiallahu an, Abdullah bin Umar, Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Zar, Jabir radiallahu an, Hafsa radiallahu anha, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu an, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu an, they were not there. Then you ask them, who was there? Meaning when they said gather, most likely these people came. And Umar radiallahu an, it's famous that the day he was not in Masjid al-Nabawi, he had one person appointed. That if anything happens, you make sure you tell me. Now, very, very amazing to find that this incident happened, which any youngster you ask, do you know Dajjal? He knows Tamim Dari is Dajjal. But you ask him, how come Umar radiallahu anhu doesn't know about it? He says, maybe he wasn't there on that day. And everyone forgot to tell him, which is practically impossible. So Fatima bin Qais radiallahu anhu says that the announcement was made, Salah, Salah, people gathered in the masjid. After Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, remain sitting. Thereafter he got onto the minbar, he gave a khutbah, he asked, do you know why I have kept you all sitting? And then he explained, in certain narrations it come, he explained certain narrations, he called Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu and said, come, you must talk to them, tell them what you saw. And Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu thereafter explained what he saw. Had it been us again discussing the issue, we would have said that now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supposed to say, oh-ho, that up till now, whatever I told you all of Dajjal was wrong. Because in the last 2 weeks, what I was telling you was the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Dajjal. More than that, he's supposed to say, let's quickly go all of us to Mr. Ibn Sayyad and ask him for maaf. Because we have accused an innocent man of being Dajjal. And as certain commentators have explained, maybe they were accusing him of being the small Dajjal, not the big Dajjal. In the ahadith, it is clear they were accusing him of being the big Dajjal. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they themselves said, Al-Masihu Dajjal huwa Ibn Sayyad. We're not speaking of any baby Dajjal, the main Dajjal is this boy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, if it is him, you can't kill him, Isa alayhi salam must kill him. They were not speaking of baby Dajjal, big Dajjal. So the demand was, we will go to Ibn Sayyad and say, maaf. That up till now we accuse you not of being kafir, of being the worst of the kufar. You Dajjal. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But pay attention, where he smiles. After he smiles, he says that the hadith of Tamim Dari has made me very pleased. Because it corresponds with exactly what I have been telling y'all about Dajjal up till now. Because it corresponds with what I have been saying to you about Dajjal up till now. Whereas in our mind, it doesn't correspond at all. That was the reason that Ibn Sayyad, we took him out of our mind. And he said, my friend, there's no way you are Dajjal, because he's already on the island. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that. He said, his words correspond to what I have told you about him up till now. In corresponding, what does corresponding mean? If it means description, then we will find that that most likely was not intended. The reason is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also described Dajjal, and Tamim Dari described his Dajjal. And when you will look at both descriptions, you will see they don't hit. The one Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described was looking different, The one Tamim Dari described was looking different. One example of this is Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu in one narration comes, and the narration is quite sound and authentic. The reason is Allama Ibn Majah has narrated it with his sanad. And in his sanad, every narrator is good. There is one narrator called Mujalid, that because of him, some commentators have said, you see this Mujalid, because of him, we will say the narration of Tamim Dari should be left. But Mujalid is a narrator from whom Imam Muslim has narrated in his kitab, so it means he's good. And in the Mu'jam of Tabrani, another narration comes without Mujalid, where all the narrators are the narrators who Imam Bukhari has taken from, except one who Hafiz ibn Hajar said, Siqa, that there is no problem with him. What we find in the narration of Tamim Dari, and as I have mentioned, the narration is now of a good level. Tamim Dari describes the man that he had seen. Shaykhun muwathaqun, or Shaykhun marbutun. I saw an old man who was tied up. I saw an old man who was tied up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's description of Dajjal, innahu shabun qatitun. That I have seen Dajjal, he's a young boy. Now for the young boy to become old in a period of 1 year, that is practically impossible. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu did not see him in the 90 of Hijri, he saw him long before that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just before that is describing Dajjal that he had seen when Allah lifted a veil, I have seen a young boy. His description of Dajjal and that description of the Dajjal is not hitting. So if someone says, who was Dajjal, you will rather say, rather Ibn Sayyad be Dajjal because he was young. Whereas the one that Tamim Dari saw was not young, he was old. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you saw is right. So Dajjal at the same time is a young boy also, at the same time is an old man also. For which reason Imam Nawawi rahimullah said, Dajjal, his name is Dajjal, confusing, everything about him is confused, man. Everything, he's old, he's young. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Dajjal, another sahih narration, that I had seen Dajjal, qasirun afhaj, that is a short man. Afhaj means that the distance between the two thighs are slightly more, meaning what we will say, short and stout. Short and fat. But when Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu saw Dajjal, he never said, I saw a short man, little fat. He said, I saw a huge man. And everyone knows a huge man, you never say, but you are short. Huge man means a tall man. Again, we see here Dajjal, unless someone says he went on a diet. But otherwise, for him to change two conditions, impossible. So we are seeing that there are two Dajjals now. One is the Dajjal which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, and he said that's the Dajjal. One is the Dajjal Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu described, and he said that's the Dajjal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what you saying is right, exactly what I have just said. What you saying is right, exactly what I have said. So the conclusion we will have to reach at the end of this is that whoever said Ibn Sayyad is the Dajjal, we have to give them a tick. Yes. Whoever said Tamim Dari saw the Dajjal, we have to say yes. How do you say yes and yes two times? Mullah Nasruddin, he taught the world this. One man came to him, he had an argument with his wife. So he started complaining about his wife. Mullah Nasruddin, listen, he said, you are right. So his wife, Mullah's wife, told him, how can you just say the man is right taking part? You never heard the woman's story. So he said, so he told the woman, start talking. So the woman started, after she completed her story, long story, then he said, you know what, you are right. So now Mullah Nasruddin's wife got more angry. She said, how can she be right when just now you said he is right? So he turned to her and said, you know what, you are right. So there's no problem. End the thing there. But in the matter of Tamim Dari and his Dajjal and Ibn Sayyad's Dajjal, you can't just say you right, everyone's right, finish. This is a matter where we have to make sense that how can all be right? If we have to say Tamim Dari was wrong, like how some commentators went on to that, because there's no way you can reconcile. Absolutely no way. So some commentators said that, you see, Imam Bukhari rahimullah in his Sahih, he never mentioned Tamim Dari and his Dajjal. As though Imam Bukhari was telling the world the narration is not authentic. Kick it out. Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahimullah comes to the defense and he says Imam Bukhari's intention was never that. The narration is very authentic. But Imam Bukhari, what a mind he had, that in his Sahih, which he meant it to be a kitab which will encompass the life of a believer, he left Tamim Dari's Dajjal out of his kitab. That what I said, keep it in the back of your mind. Imam Bukhari was saying, keep it at the back of your mind. Meaning, don't let the narration of Tamim Dari deceive you regarding the reality of Dajjal. Though Imam Bukhari was saying, according to me, Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal, the narration of Tamim Dari, keep it at the back of your mind. So certain commentators went on to that extreme where they said that Tamim Dari radiallahu's narration should be left out. It doesn't exist, which is wrong. Others went on to the extreme where they said that Ibn Sayyad, in no way can he be Dajjal. So now we will go into that discussion. If their view was right, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after hearing Tamim Dari's story, that what? Dajjal is there on the island. It means Ibn Sayyad is not Dajjal. First thing supposed to happen, Sahaba supposed to go and say maaf to him. But what you will find after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was already the 90 of Hijri when Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu spoke. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, if anyone would go to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they would never hear much about Tamim Dari and his Dajjal. What they would hear, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, his words were, I prefer taking 9 qasams, oaths, that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. I will not take a single oath, he is not Dajjal. This was after. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, I have absolutely no doubt by Allah that Ibn Sayyad is the awaited Dajjal. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, I swear that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. Someone said to him, how can he be Dajjal? He's a Muslim. Someone said, he got children. Amazing, Ibn Sayyad, from his children, one child stood out, that from the mashhur, famous students of Imam Malik rahimullah was the child of Ibn Sayyad. The child of Ibn Sayyad was a famous student of Sa'id ibn Musayyab, and certain places they mention a famous student of Imam Malik rahimullah. Imagine, you had from the stomach of, what we said, Azar, you had Ibrahim, and you're from the stomach of Dajjal, you got a famous student, a Maliki. So when you see the Maliki scholar wrote it, you'll wonder, is this the son of Dajjal? So they said, he's a Muslim, he got children. He's in Medina Munawwara. He said, even if he's a Muslim, he's Dajjal. Even if he's in Medina, he's Dajjal. Even if he has children, he is Dajjal. Umar radiallahu anhu took an oath that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam never stopped him. They say, oh Umar, you can't do that. I myself, I'm not sure. How can you take Qasam? He did not stop him. Abu Zar radiallahu anhu said, I am prepared to take 10 oaths that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. I shall never be ready to take even a single oath that he is not. That is a couple of names. But then if you look at the majority of Sahaba, what they felt. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says, once he was in a journey of Hajj, the narration also comes in Imam Muslim's compilation. He says, I was on a journey of Hajj, and at a time came for resting, then everyone separated. Ibn Sayyad was with us on the journey of Hajj. So he brought his saman, his goods, and he came and put it next to my tree. So I started feeling uncomfortable. His words were because of what we all understood, that he is Dajjal, or what An-Nas understood, and An-Nas was the Sahaba. And thereafter he says, Ibn Sayyad offered me some milk. I told him, you know what, milk, the moment it's very hot, milk itself is hot. And he says, the only thing was, I never want to drink milk from the man who was known as Dajjal. So then Ibn Sayyad told me that, you know, I know that you are not taking milk for one reason. And then he says, I am so affected that how can you people, again here he said, you people. Another narration, he said, oh Ansar of Medina, how can you people? Meaning all of them were accepting you are Dajjal. Tamim Dari, Dajjal is on his place, you are Dajjal. So he said, I'm very affected. You are the Ansar of Medina. You all know the Ahadith best. If somebody else called me Dajjal, no problem. You're all calling me Dajjal. He says, don't you know your own messenger said that he will never enter Makkah. He will never enter Medina. I live in Medina. I'm going for Hajj. He will not be a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. He will not have children. I got children. And he started narrating Dalail after Dalail. Until Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu said, a doubt started going through me. that is he really Dajjal or not Dajjal? And thereafter Tamim, this Ibn Sayyad, he said a unique sentence. But the unique sentence, if I translate it now, won't be understood. So the unique sentence, we'll leave it for the future. Where he tried to make hal of the whole masala. And he was the imam to make hal of it. Because he knew the whole jagra around it. So he gave one sentence which explained the entire masala. So I mentioned the kitab, it is Muslim Sharif. It's the last line which he says, he explained the whole ikhtilaf. So now every student will now go check up in Muslim, what was the last line? And you try and make hal of what Ibn Sayyad finally said. So as I mentioned, it became a very difficult bahas, because of which ulama grew up into two groups. Sahaba radiallahu anh, majority of them, or if I can say all of them, pointed to Ibn Sayyad. But because it never makes sense with Tamim Dari radiallahu anh's Dajjal, ulama later on broke up into two. From the ulama who never accepted Ibn Sayyad as Dajjal, that's a group. Among them, the famous ones is Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimullah, Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, and Ibn Hazm Zahiri. In between, there's a group of ulama who spoke in such a manner that in the ending, you don't know whether they're saying he is Dajjal or he's not Dajjal. They went in between, among them, Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahimullah, Mullah Ali Qari rahimullah, where one word you will say, it shows he's not Dajjal. And on the other word, he says, it shows he is Dajjal. So he leaves you. Imam Bukhari rahimullah, he made himself very clear that I feel it's no one but Ibn Sayyad. In the kitab Ashratu Sa'ah, the author quotes that he says that Imam Qurtubi rahimullah and Imam Nawawi rahimullah, after reading their works, it shows that they gave preference to Ibn Sayyad being Dajjal. And he says, despite the fact that it seems so impossible, that how can he be when Dajjal was already seen? He says, but Imam Qurtubi never bothered about that. He said, no matter what, Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal. So there was a big ikhtilaf that remained hanging in the ummah. At the beginning I mentioned there are two ways to know who is Dajjal. One is to look at the description Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, and now we have discussed it. And the description he gave points more towards Ibn Sayyad than even the Dajjal of Tamim Dari radiallahu anh. For which reason Sahaba radiallahu anh said it is this boy, no matter what. The second way I told you to find out who is Dajjal, you will go to the Jews. Because the Jews also had the description. And in between you'll get one extra way. The in between extra way is a baby way. That what you will say when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked before Nubuwa, then the trees, the stones would say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Although at that time he was not the messenger of Allah, he was still Muhammad. But the trees and stones would tell him, oh, Allah's messenger. So it was in my mind, if I can find at least one stone saying, oh, Dajjal, then I'll be happy. But here you got a stone saying, you Dajjal. So looking, then I found Allama Aini rahimullah mentioned, Allah tabarak ta'ala reward him. And thereafter I found, where is it mentioned? I found Allama Ibn Kathir mentioned it in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, and Tabari in his Tariq, and Al-Kamil in Ibn al-Athir in his Al-Kamil. Very, very fast this narration goes, that it was the time of Umar radiallahu anh. They were most likely in Iran, Iraq, one of those areas. There was a place called Sus, Sin Waw Sin. And it was an amazing place, because after they conquered it, they found the body of Daniel alayhi salam. And they wrote to Umar radiallahu anh, we got his body, he said, bury it and wipe it out. No one must know it's there. Otherwise people will start worshipping. He says, while they were trying to take over this fort, there was a lot of Sahaba radiallahu anh and Mujahideen's lives were being taken. Until a time came when the leaders stood up inside and they said, in our athar it is narrated, in our books, traditions it is narrated, that only that army will conquer Sus. That Sus will only be conquered by Dajjal or by that army which has Dajjal. So if you all got Dajjal, then come and fight. If you all haven't got Dajjal, rather go somewhere else. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anh was in that Jamaat. He got the news of it. He was a mastermind. He said, Ibn Sayyad, you go in that army. Who else would have done it? So go in that army. It comes in the narration that Ibn Sayyad and the Muslims were having a siege against that place. And again those people stood up and said, if you all only Dajjal or the army with Dajjal will take over. Now look at this here, forget the stones knowing, look at Ibn Sayyad, what he's thinking, am I Dajjal or not? He stands up. It is narrated that he walks to the door of that very huge fort. He kicks it with his leg. He says a very bad word, he swears it. You say like what you'll say, you rubbish. But in a very, very bad word, he says, you rubbish, open up. And there he says, the locks break, the door opens, the Muslims entered. The entire army just put up their hands, we will not fight, we will not fight. And they took over the entire. To show that even the locks understood that this boy here, he is the Dajjal. And finally then, if you have to go to the Jews, to find the Jews, who do you all feel is the Dajjal? Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahimullah, the ending now of Ibn Sayyad's life, most likely the last time he was seen in history. He says a certain, most likely, in the time after, Jabir radiallahu anh says, after the fight between Zubair, Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anh, and Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that was the last time you saw Ibn Sayyad. Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahimullah, however, he brings one more narration in Fathul Bari. He says he was seen one more time. A certain person narrates, I used to go continuously up and down to a certain place which was Asfahan, Iran. And you will see in the ahadith where the discussion of Yakhruju comes, where will the Dajjal show his face? One is Asfahan. Another place, Yahudiyah. And Yahudiyah is a place of Asfahan. And this person narrations, I used to go up and there quite a lot. It was under the Muslims' time. We were taken over from the time of Umar radiallahu anh. A certain time came where I saw they were making a big noise, playing on their drums. So I asked this certain person, what is happening here? He says that the Jews are very happy because he says the leader has finally come with which they will take over all the Arabs and take over the world. With which they will take over all the Arabs and take over the world. He says, being very worried about this, I spent the night there to get a glimpse of who is this man, who is that big leader. He says, in the morning when that army went past, I can't remember the exact wording, but finally his words were that when that person came out, I got a good glimpse of his face. It was none other but Ibn Sayyad. Thereafter he entered his tent and till now he has not come out. Meaning I have never seen him after. So when you ask the Jews, what are you meaning about this man being the leader which will take over the Arab world? It will mean that we are saying that you all can carry on looking at the Bermuda Triangle for the Dajjal. We already got our leader here. But now how can it be possible that Ibn Sayyad is the Dajjal? Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu saw the Dajjal. So for that day, inshallah, if we have one more week to speak, we will mention it. Otherwise, I'll give you one entire month that you try now with this in mind that yes, Ibn Sayyad is the Dajjal because of the qasams of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not once retracted. And Ibn Sayyad himself said, or he went up to the fort to fight it, and the locks also broke. And the Jews also said, you are our beloved leader. We have accepted you wholeheartedly. Let us take over the world. Keeping it in mind that this man is Ibn Sayyad Dajjal. Keeping in mind Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu saw Dajjal. And then keeping this in mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever he said conforms to exactly what I have just said to you. So to try to make one tatbik between this and looking at the one sentence of Ibn Sayyad himself, when he finally spoke to Abu Sa'id Khudri about his reality. So inshallah, if I don't speak next week, then it will meet, inshallah we will meet next year.